That's Jimmy McGriff and a band of really great musicians with Feelin' It. It's from his 2000, I should say, album, Hard Times. This is Utrece Lead, and you're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. Well, here's the thing. It's a good clue as to where we're going today, the issue of hard times, because the people in Texas still are going through hard times, very hard times, as a matter of fact. And it's bad enough that they have to cope with the situation as it is, with all that flooding and water that isn't going anywhere too fast. And when it goes, it's immediately replaced with more water. It's a very sad situation. And it's sadder still how people are making political meals out of this desperate situation that people are in. So far, we're hearing that there are about 14 deaths that have been certified so far and claimed so far. But they expect to have more as the situation, as the water recedes, but it's the rain is still coming down in parts and making it very, very difficult for people to reach people and very difficult also to find a clear spot to put them. The latest controversy is, what's that preacher's name with all those teeth? With that mega church down there. Anyway, there's a storm brewing, pardon the pun, around him and his unwillingness to show some degree of generosity to people who are looking for a dry place to stay for the time being until they could get back into their homes or locate other shelter. So his megachurch can accommodate 16,000 people, and he has not yet opened the church to the public. And a firestorm occurred over that. And it seems as if they can find some space now that he has been put on the spot. Joel Osteen, that's who I was trying to remember, that church, the mega church in Houston, Texas. It's sad that you see these things, but it's important that we see them. Because unless we face what is real, you know, we continue to live in a kind of la-la land. You would think that, you know, a church would be very happy to help in some way. Everybody knows the situation. On the other side, you could say, well, the church itself has to protect itself. I mean, when you're welcoming people and you don't know who they are or what the consequence of them being there, even for a couple of days, might be to the church. You know, you think about it and you say to yourself, well, I could see why people are reticent about doing this on a mass scale. Because after they leave, he'll be stuck with the cleanup, and it may not just be a fast cleanup. You know, it may be a more complicated process. But in the meantime, the situation is you have a lot of people who need lodging. They need some place to lay down and sleep and rest. They need some way to just take a breather for a while. And it would seem to me that, well, the churches might not be a bad idea to come to the help of these people, and they're growing by the minute. And I know part of the unstated problem here is the fear of having homeless people take advantage of a situation. Well, hey, they got to survive too. And this is the nature of the situation as it is. So deal with it. That's all you have to do, is deal with it. But imagine a church having 16,000 seats. That's a lot of revenue. Okay, apart from the whole thing of saving souls, you also have a substantial revenue base. And I would suspect that whatever inconvenience is caused temporarily by housing people, although they had to smack you in public about it, you have enough reserves somewhere to be able to do a cleanup afterwards. Think of it as you're doing it for the Lord. Sure. It's just unbelievable that you see the true nature of people at times like this. Well, we're going to be talking about the true nature of people, because this situation, I think, shows something about how politics is done in the United States. And in this scenario, we see that Donald Trump is riding this storm. He's riding it. He's taking every bit of energy that he can from it. And we see the exact opposite with the Democratic Party. They're just all wet. That's all they are. They're not in a prominent position. They have not exercised the initiative to be visible and to be involved at ground level. I don't see that. And what I see is all around, I mean, both with Trump and the Democratic Party, the Green Party, all the parties, it's just pitiful. Just a pitiful response. And we come to this point many, many times because of other circumstances. But we see that these folks are not organized. They seem like they like it that way. Or they will kind of hurriedly put some kind of a patchwork together. But look at what they have communicated to us in this circumstance as a party. It took Donald Trump several days to get down there. There was no real official statement from the President of the United States expressing condolences and basically commiserating with people who suddenly found themselves in a horrible situation by the tens of thousands and even more. They are uprooted from their homes, or put it the other way, their homes have been uprooted from them. they find themselves in a calamitous situation. And the thing that they're not getting is answers. What is happening? What is going to happen to me? I would say from the news reports, and I've been watching them closely, you see a valiant effort being made by the people. It's the people solving the problem themselves, for the most part. The people are responding to other people. Now, that's an admirable trait, an admirable service. But I'm saying, when the people have to respond this way, they can't. There are certain things they just can't do. They can't solve this problem. And we haven't seen from Trump and from local administrations, we do not see that there is a cogent plan. Now, I'm not expecting everything to be perfect. Just deal with that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying part of why a person is politically involved, part of why you get out there to vote. Of course, I don't vote anymore, because I've seen enough betrayal by governmental structures, by the governments of different places. I have seen them underperform spectacularly. And we know that if the people themselves did not marshal their own resources, some coming from Louisiana by boat. Imagine that. They're calling themselves, I can't remember what the name was, something like, you know, their own flotilla that they've organized to come into Houston and get people out of their houses and get them to shelters and so forth. They're doing this themselves. It is beyond admirable. It is extraordinary. It's a great and comforting expression of citizens caring about other citizens, people caring about people. And that has always been a strength, I think, of the American people. They do care. We're seeing stories of extraordinary efforts that people are making to go out of their way to help others who are in desperate need of help. You had a nursing home full of elderly people sitting up to their chests and up to their waists in water, just sitting there. And some citizen, some person got wind of that and alerted the authorities to come take care of the situation. They were unable to do anything for themselves. And more than likely, if the call was made, they would just have sat there and drowned. Well, that is an extreme situation. But the fact is, it happened. And saving the day was just a regular person. And we see this all the time. We've seen this all the time. What concerns me is how are the governmental, the apparatus of government, accounting for itself? Obviously, this is no small matter. This is not something that is easy to handle. But there still should be an answer as to why. What was the problem in getting help to people quicker than they eventually did? And in some cases, the government simply could not respond. Now, we're talking about war. We're going to go to war with North Korea. We're going to go to war in Afghanistan, lots of war and whatnot. We know how to do that. Drop bombs, the mother of all bombs. We don't know how to respond to a flood. We don't know how to safeguard and secure the lives of people who should depend and look to government to do that. That's why you pay taxes. And we should at least see ongoing involvement by representatives from Texas, representing these people sitting in a living room up to their chests in water. Not sure whether anybody's going to come and rescue them. And whose lives literally were saved because an ordinary person saw them and raised the alarm. This is the time that the best of government is supposed to show itself. Show compassion. Show the capacity to respond and protect life. Well, you can't do it, can you? Lots of talking, lots of profiling, and all of this stuff. Bottom line is, by the tens of thousands of people, if it weren't for the fact that people mobilized themselves, we would have had a major catastrophe on our hands. A major catastrophe. So the question is, what happened here? The president takes days, not only to get there, but to even make a statement that he recognizes the trauma that these people have been going through and still are going through. He has not informed the country of the provisions that the federal government has made to help stem, you know, the pardon the pun again, the tide against the people from the suffering that they're having to deal with. A leader would say, we're trying the best that we can. We have this in place. We have that in place. I have ordered such and such to be done, and I'm going to be there personally to supervise it. I'm going to go and see that it's being done. But in the meantime, do so and so and so and so. That's what a leader does. You respond immediately. The party as a party has said, I mean, might as well not be a Republican Party. This is the time that the Republican Party distinguishes itself as a party of compassion, a party of concern. The only thing that they have said so far has had to do with the elections next year, the midterm elections. That's what's important. Not whether people live or die, sitting in their living room with water up to their chest. Vote for me is what the deal is. That's important. But I want to point it out to you so that you understand my rationale for just getting out of the party system altogether? Of what use has the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or any party been to people who are suffering and see no way of recouping? Not yet. And the prediction is from the weather experts that there's a ways to go still before they could even see the end of this. And you claim that you're in a political party, which happens also to be the party of the president, and it hasn't yet shown, even in a calamity like this, what it means to belong to a party. It hasn't shown that yet, not from the president or anyone all the way down the line. So the president does finally arrive in town, but he is not wading through that water. He is not doing that kind of thing because, you know, he's a germaphobe. And he probably sees germs everywhere. So do the people, by the way. They see germs everywhere. They see germs in the Democratic Party and the germs in the Republican Party. Because you show up, but it's just a show. You have nothing to contribute here. You have nothing that helps people out of their situation, which is the whole purpose of belonging to a so-called political party. Your party isn't there to take care of you, not even to offer a kind word. The tragedy here is that people would see that this is their problem. This is their problem. No, it's not. This is not your problem. You should see the systemic failure here. This is about a system collapsing, refusing, because either it doesn't have what it takes to solve the problem now, or it has no interest. But we see a vigorous attempt by the people to fix things, to preserve life, to look after one another. That falls to the people, and that's what has me furious. That's why you have a government. And instead of investing in these kinds of things, to how do you protect people in a tragic situation like this, in a catastrophic situation like this? Instead of doing that, they're putting your money into the mother of all bombs. And then they will turn around and send your daughters and your sons. They're not going. Their sons and their daughters are not going. They're not coming to see you at your time of duress. They are not in duress. They have multi-million-dollar homes. And they have assured protection. They're not waking up tomorrow morning wondering where the meal is going to come from or how to get your shoes dry. They're not worrying about these things. In fact, Trump didn't even take a minute. He went there because, well, it would look really, really bad if he doesn't show up. So he fulfilled that. He showed up. But that was it. That was the extent of his great concern. That was what he had to offer. And then immediately switched gears. He's back to politics. And why he announced the pardon of Arpaio, the sheriff that he pardoned, because he thought it would get good ratings. And we are still wondering whether the head of state is sane. He was so concerned, he fired his guy who normally arranges crowds when he's announcing something. And in going over the tape, he found a patch, an empty patch, where a couple of people should have been to make the crowd look great for TV. This is the President of the United States at a time when people are fighting for their lives. He's concerned about how his news conference looks on TV. And look, I could see a patch there, an empty patch of floor. People should have been there. Why aren't people filling in that empty patch of floor? You're fired. And that's the level of leadership we have in this country. A self-absorbed, self-obsessed, deranged man who can't even see in the midst of a catastrophe that he should be using himself differently. That's what concerns him. How do I look? Do I look good? Yeah, I didn't. Hey, what's that bald spot we have here? You're fired. People are trying to figure out how to get a meal, where they're going to sleep, where they and their children are going to sleep. They had to run out of their house with whatever it is they had. These many days later, they don't have cash. They don't have clean clothes. They don't know what's going to happen. Will they eventually have to move because this could happen again? And nobody's talking to them. Nobody's assuring them. That kind of work is assigned to people who, on a human level, are taking it upon themselves to aid and comfort other people. Now, you can't get better than that. And if ordinary people could do that, where's the leader? Where he's afraid to touch people, he's afraid of this, he's afraid of that. He comes in clearly to show himself, and that's enough. Where are the sons and daughters? Are they in this thing? Are they with the people? Are they bringing water and food? No. And then we switch to the Democrats. What a pitiful group. The people of the United States should just quit their political parties. The political parties have quit them. Where are you? All this calamity going on. People are in a state of desperation. And you are well-dressed in Washington, D.C., talking nonsense, just flapping your lips. All hands on deck. That's the name of the game in Texas right now. All hands on deck. But you have your beads and your pearls and your nice Louis Vuitton shoes. And you're the epitome of fashion. And this is a party that says it cares. And you don't care even in your own interests. Your party is in a shambles. It has nothing to offer the situation. But in your head, you're leading. You're doing something to solve a problem. This is a time for your hands to be dirty. This is a time for you to have a shovel in it, cleaning up crap, trying to get people on the ground. This is a time for you to be on the ground. You are totally absent, it seems. Or you have one person over here or one person over there acting on their own. This is not a party position. As a party, the party should be ever present, doing something to help. Not calling news conferences in the rotunda to show how much you care. In your cute clothes and your well-coiffed hair. You should be raising hell. You should be raising hell. This is supposed to be the United States of America that could solve things. Where are where's the Green Party? The people who profess such concern about the environment. Did you get at least a dozen people together and go help clean up the trash in the street? Bring water to some people who need it? You talk about climate change. Well, that's what they're in the middle of climate change. And nobody's there. So y'all are talking crap. And this is why I belong to no party. The relationship between the people and the party is one way. Show up and vote for me. You can go to hell. This is what political work is. You don't have to be told that people are suffering. You don't have to be told what you can do, how you can help. And the formula is always the same. Send us the money and we'll figure out how to help them. No, you're being, again, your plunderer. Then you're going to come and talk to people about climate change. They are the consequences. They are the victims of climate change and the victims of political parties. Ignoring them. Not being there on the spot. And having no intention of organizing to be on the spot, which is where you ought to be. Not in some ivory tower writing another paper. You ought to be right in the middle of the muck and the mud. And if you can't do that or won't do that, then people should just say goodbye to you. You are of no use to me. See, this is how I think about politics. I don't want to hear all that stuff that after this is over, you start that up again to entice me to vote. When I was in deep trouble, you weren't there, and you had no intention of being there. You didn't see it as your responsibility to be there. So you can go to hell. That should be the attitude of voters. And it doesn't matter that you live in New York, but this is happening in Houston. No. That's another human being in Houston. And if they're going to ignore this magnitude of tragedy, what do you think they're going to do when it comes to you? What clout could you possibly think you have? What kind of protection do you think you will ever have through a party system? Forget it. I've said it before 500 million times. I'll add one more. Forget this and see to yourself. Organize your own system to the best way that you can. Organize with other people who understand the value and the benefits of acting together, and forget them. They certainly don't act like they have remembered you. They're all in it. Republican, Democrat, and all these splinter parties. When things calm down to a degree that they can tolerate, then they will come out and they'll tell you the only response that you should have to what you just experienced is to vote for them. Where were you? I didn't see you fighting the government to respond more intelligently to a disaster. I don't see you asking the right questions. I don't see you raising hell. You're in the comfort of your living room in New York. And you're talking about revolution, and you're talking about a new vision, and you're talking, none of this is authentic. I don't want to hear about what this person said and what that person wrote. This is real time, and you should be accounted for in real time if you are in a political situation. If you are a political leader, this is real time. In fact, people should be astonished that with so many people trying to get out, there's so many other people trying to get in to help. And these are people who could help because they have political connections and they have political power. But they're all spectators. And they come to the microphone. And they yap and yap and yap. This is one more lesson that we are largely on our own. And what we have to take note of is making it possible to forge and maintain ties with people, like-minded people, who see the power of self-help and who can depend on that kind of help, certainly in the situation that we have observed. They can depend on some guy leaving his house in Louisiana, some bayou in Louisiana, with his little boat. He is far more valuable to you, far greater an ally to you than those yapping people in Congress. Far more authentic, far more determined to find a solution. That's where our future is. That's what I've been saying. Don't wait for these people. They are as corrupted as everybody else in Congress. Find your own way. Talk to people who understand what humanity demands. You turn on the TV, see an 80 and 90-year-old person, you know, sitting up to her chest, sitting at a dining table, there's nothing to eat, and she's just sitting there. And all these other people are sitting there in the same condition, with no help, in the United States of America, that is looking to go to war because it's so powerful. No. You build your own network. You organize your own party with people who are as dedicated as you or interested as you are in achieving a set of goals together. The system is rotten to the core. And we've reached a point where there seems to be no distinction except in degree of rottenness. We should have had an invasion of legislators down there in Houston. Everybody showing up for duty. Because presumably, the representatives in Houston have friends who may not be part of their districts in Congress, but who would show up for support, to support them. That's what I mean by an invasion. Everybody should be heading to Texas to see the situation for themselves. Because you know it's going to happen again. This is going to happen all the time in different places, but it's going to be the same issue. Catastrophe. Take this little break and come back to your comments right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm talking about what we are noticing, and we are refusing to break it down and understand it, because it's not so much about what they are doing, it's what we have to do. We've got to find some solutions for ourselves that don't include them, nor a party. The party is looking to us, or parties are looking to us, for one thing and one thing only. Vote for me. You have no further use to political parties other than that. And we're seeing that play out very, very clearly in Houston and other parts of Texas, where Mother Nature is not being so kind to them right now. Whenever these tragedies occur, we have to read the situation, and we look at how people in positions of responsibility and power, how they behave, what their behavior tells us about what they think about us, and accept it as is. Don't make excuses. What they're showing you is exactly what they feel. And if that's what they feel, you'd be crazy to continue a relationship with that member of Congress or that political party. Scratch it off. Scratch them all off. They have no use to you. And even stretch it farther. If you are a humanitarian, it should bother you that this is the way political parties and even the head of state is treating a very calamitous situation. In that sense, he's treating U.S. citizens, people living here, no differently from the way I imagine he regards the people of North Korea. Okay, Lincoln, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Lincoln. How are you, Eutrice?
I'm okay. I'm a little perturbed, as we all should be.
I'm glad that you are.
Thank you.
It shows that you're not being complacent. I have to say that the people are greatly responsible, and because we continue to choose to support symbolism politics. Look at Bernie Sanders. After deserting the people, after them robbing the elections from him, he threw all his support behind the very people who stole the election from him. And the supporters of Bernie Sanders refused to hold Bernie Sanders accountable. So how can you blame the politicians? Because we all treat politicians like celebrities rather than servants of the people. I also want to add something which you have been really pushing very well, that as people reflect on Houston, Texas, and this present predicament, they should also reflect on the Clintons and their misuse of the billions of dollars that was allocated for Haiti. And as people suffer in Texas, it should remind them of the suffering, the present suffering of the people of Haiti because of the misuse of that money by the Clinton Foundation. And since we're short in time, I'll leave for other people to make some comments.
Thank you, and thanks for calling.
Okay.
And by the way, we'll be talking tomorrow about the effort to relaunch the Clinton Foundation in Africa. All of the places that they have targeted are African countries, but we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Jay, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay, how about you?
Good. It just seems that they really have no plan to deal with this crisis that we're involved with right now in that area. You know, we don't even know what FEMA is going to do because from what I understand, there's been some kind of cuts to disaster funds that Obama put in place. Trump, as usual, repealed it. You know, from what I'm hearing, they're not really saying what they're going to do, you know, other than
and nobody is making them accountable for that. Nobody's asking, wait a minute, why is it that we can't get to plowing the streets that are reasonably clear to plow? Why aren't we doing the things that we're doing? Because the money is missing. This is when the Democrats, if they're serious, you pile it on, because we know what the answer is. Trump has stripped money from nearly every department, and in order to do what? We don't know. But well, we do know he's still fighting Obama's ghost. So anything that Obama has done, he's got somebody tracking money that was allocated to that function and stripping it away. That tells you the president is mentally
ill.
But nobody is saying
that's
it.
That's a sickness. He's obsessed. He's obsessed with a man who's out of office. And I guess you got to take your head off to Obama in the sense that he hasn't said anything, replied, or done anything whatsoever to try to escalate the madness, because I guess he knows that is what, you know, the people within the media are looking for. So I guess he's smart enough to play the game. But also, I'm noticing something that I think, because of people like you and myself, a lot of people are not giving money to the Red Cross. I know that now others are putting together organizations, and I know and you know that Hillary will be coming soon with her organization. But have a good day. I got a delivery. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Well, I love it when people have a delivery in the middle of the show. It means that You're working. You're a black man working. A good thing to see. 888-874-4888. We have room for at least one more call before we go. But you know what I'm saying? This is what we learn from a situation like this. This is how they have reduced politics and changed its definition. We are responsible for practicing our politics with a different mentality. With a different mentality. I so admire the efforts that people, just on their own, the lengths to which they have gone and continue to go to help others. That is extraordinary. And they're showing that all of these things that they're telling us are so difficult to do, the logistics, the this, the that, people with their own will, their own tools even, their own equipment are in the fight to help other people they don't even know. And that is the spirit of how we should be as a country. And then these folks in Washington, D.C., don't even show up. But they will talk about it as if they've been there every single day. They don't show up. A Brooklyn politician once told me, the most important thing is to show up. Just show up and let people see that you're dedicated to the job, which, by the way, includes showing up so that you have a direct view of what is going on. Well, that concludes our program. I think I could sneak in one more call if you're right there. But we have to redefine politics, is what I have been saying. Redefine this whole thing and not let people take us down the wrong path. We have ultimately the responsibility of deciding how we practice our politics. By every measure so far, what we've been seeing is unacceptable. A half-hearted, lackadaisical, and in some cases, no involvement at all. Just telling the people, well, you know, the FEMA will be there. They'll give you some forms. No, the idea of leadership is that you are on site. You or some representative on site at all times. Because that is what it means to serve the people. To serve the people means you have to be with them. Thank you for listening today, and tomorrow we go back to discussing a very disturbing thing, and that is the rise again of the Clintons in the charity business, and this time they're full blast into Africa, and we should expose that, so we're going to. Stay tuned. Coming up next is, don't tell me, I want my brain to click in today, The Infectious Myth with David Crow. Thanks so much for being with us, and do support PRN. You know, that is important. Support PRN, support this program too. Let me hear from you. Bye-bye.